Hi, this is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. Hi, everybody. I hope you're having a good day and a good week and a good month. We're all the way at the end of October now. I know I haven't recorded a podcast in a while. Those of you that are on my Facebook page, my private page, know that I've had some personal issues going on, and I just haven't had the bandwidth in my head to make a podcast. It's just not there. I wish I could tell you what was going on, but I can't. You know, some things are personal and I can't just put it out there because it's not my story to tell. So all I'm going to say is I know that I've mentioned my daughter being away, and my daughter is back, and she's back for good. So that's the good news. Okay, so reminders. Don't forget, I have a private Facebook group where nobody, you know, it's private. You post on there and nobody sees it. You do have to answer 3 questions. And I do, if I feel something, now if you're listening, obviously you're not going to be suspicious to me. But I'm careful about who I let in. And I also have another moderator, which I'm very grateful for her because she's been doing a lot of heavy lifting lately since I have pretty much not done anything with any of my social media. Thank you again, C, for your assistance in all of it. I'm so grateful that you're doing that. If you like my content, buy me a coffee. Okay, the link will be in the show notes. And I don't think I have any other reminders or anything else. I just want to talk about, this group is about escaping narcissistic mothers. I've had a few things happen to me, but it's about my father, who is an enabler. I can quickly kind of tell you. So, again, my daughter's here, so her father took her to see my father. And yes, I said my ex, or her father, my ex, took her. Why he's involved, I will never really understand that, but that's what toxic people do. They adopt the people in your life that are no good for you because it will bother you. So, haha on him, it doesn't bother me. But I was forced, after having closed the door on that whole situation, after my mother passed many times, to connect with him, I was forced to call him because apparently something health-wise happened or has been happening. I don't know because he didn't tell me. And he didn't tell my ex either. He doesn't want me to know, so he's not telling anybody. He lost a lot of weight and he was unrecognizable is what I kept hearing. You have to call him. And that's when I realized that EMDR really does work, because I did not want to call him. Okay. I did not want to call him. But I was forced to, but since I was forced to, and I didn't want to do it again, I did it. And I didn't do this to hurt my daughter. I did it just so that my daughter would not come back to me and say, "How come you're not talking to Grandpa?" So I called him on speaker while she was there and she heard him. I asked him how he was doing. I heard he was thin and very calmly. He was very cold, like he has been every time I've talked to him. And I finally said, "Do you want to talk to me?" "No, no, no. I just want to be left in peace." I said, "Okay, bye-bye." And I hung up and my daughter heard it. So I'm good there. I don't have to call him anymore. toxicity from a mother, a narcissistic controlling mother who's, you know, controlled her husband, her daughter, and everyone around her, that's what happens. It doesn't go away. You know, I hope that he doesn't realize his mistake in a couple of years, because I don't think I want to be there at that point. Like, at some point, we have to say, all right, this is it. Cut them off and move on, because it's what's healthy for you. If he's doing what's healthy for him in his mind, then I have to do what's healthy for me. And that may bite him in the behind and eventually, but I really don't know. I don't have any plan on it. The only thing I have is, right now, it is what it is, and I don't want to call him again. Okay, so there we go. That's the update on my dad. Not a surprise, but I'm glad that he's not in my life. I'm sorry. My life has changed since I said, Roxy, stop. Roxy. Oh, thank goodness. I'm sitting out in my back porch, and she's... my cat, Roxy, is chasing a lizard. Another thing I wanted to bring up is this, and I know it's not any of you, or maybe it is, I don't know. They say Howard Stern, this is related, Howard Stern has more listeners that hate him than people who like him. So I may have some, you know, consistent listeners who don't like me, right? So my daughter found a review, I guess, on Apple or something, I don't know. And she sent it to me, and I read it, and I was like, ha, ha, ha. I don't read reviews for the simple reason that I don't do this for reviews. I've done this for me. I did it for me. I did it to heal from my trauma. And in the process, I gave a lot of validation to other people. And that was a big plus for me. And that's why I still continue to do it at this point, where I'm moving on with my life and I'm finally on the other side of this, really on the other side of this. And I still want to do this because I'm helping other people. But the review was someone, now, toxic people are going to hear this and think I'm toxic because they're toxic, right? That's how it works. The review was something like, I sounded like a narcissist and she felt sorry for my teenage daughter. And I'm like, what podcast does she listen to? My daughter's 21. And the podcast is about me. So yeah, it's about me. And it is about my personal experience. But there's a lot of podcasts out there that are also about how to handle situations in general, not just about me. Okay, and actually today, that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about narcissistic traits that you may not have picked on or picked up on with your own mother. So most of you have figured out at this point, or you wouldn't be listening to me, that your mother is toxic, right? Your mother didn't treat you the way you should be treated. She blamed you for things. Whatever the situation was that made you realize, I can't do this anymore, or I need to find a way to feel validated and that I'm not alone. And you're not, trust me. There was something. Well, there are also some, because if she was a covert, underhanded narcissistic mother, you didn't notice a lot of the things. So one of the things that these mothers may do is waste your time. Okay, and by that I mean their time was more important than yours. So if you were going to go somewhere together, maybe when you were younger, you would be ready, maybe the other person or the other people in your house would be ready, and she would make you all wait. Okay? She's wasting your time. She's telling you, my time is more important than yours. And yes, I'm going to tell a personal story here because that's all I have. Anyway, it doesn't matter what other people, like toxic people, say about me. That's good. I see that as a positive, right? There's so much. I have trolls. Hey, I made it. That's when you know you made it, when you have trolls. So to my trolls out there, thank you so much. You make me feel very validated. Anyway, that's one way to get back at someone who is negative. So this story, and I've told this before, but it's probably been quite a few podcasts back. When I was about 14, I think, 14, 15 years old, we were invited to a wedding, and it was my mother's friend's daughter's wedding. It was not like my friend's, you know, it wasn't me or my dad. It was her people's wedding, okay? And me and my dad got dressed, and we're ready to go, and 10 minutes passed. An hour passed. An hour and a half passed. 2 hours have passed. We missed the ceremony and like an hour of the reception at this point. And by the time we got there, we would have missed half the reception. And, you know, there was no point anymore. And I went over to my dad. I was in my bedroom. He was in the living room. I said, hey, since mom's not ready, what are we going to do? He said, I'm done. And he started taking off his suit. And I took off my dress. And we went. And he told her, he said, we're not going. She was so upset, and she was like, how come I don't have time to get ready? I do everything for you two to be ready. She didn't do anything. The dress I was wearing was hanging in my closet. She didn't do anything to it, okay? And my dad's suit was ready, too. It was her just wasting our time. So, in that instance, I applaud my father for making the right choice. I wanted to go to the wedding, but if I didn't go, it wasn't that big of a deal. I was 14. It was, you know, I wasn't going to be like, oh no, you know. So, they do things like that. They waste your time. Okay? Or if this, my mother did right up until the very end, until I stopped talking to her, where I would go to her house to visit, and either she would call somebody or she would get a phone call, and then she'd be on the phone for half an hour, 45 minutes, even longer, until I would get tired and leave. That's not just wasting your time, but it's also ignoring you, okay? It's a stonewalling method or tactic. What they're telling you is, you're not valuable. This person's more important to me than you. That's what it is. And I did get angry a lot of the times when that happened. I got furious. And I would just get up and leave and go. So wasting your time is a really good tactic that they probably have used. And you're going to go, oh my God, I had never thought of that, right? Because it's one of those things that you probably, they're not big, huge things. That's why they're covert. Right? They're underhanded. They do little things to upset you. Right? Most of the stuff that my mom did was never open. She didn't openly scream at me in front of other people. She didn't beat me to death. Right? Everything she did was hush-hush, underhanded, you know. How about things like not buying you what you want? Like, you ask for something as a kid, and they purposely don't buy it for you, right? And maybe they spend money on someone else instead to show you, I don't care about you, right? I'm sure that's happened to you guys. With me, it wasn't so much, she never bought what I wanted, right? And she was so controlling over certain things. Like, I never had enough clothes. I went to Catholic school, and in her mind or on purpose, that was enough clothing for me, even though it's a freaking uniform, which, by the way, she never bought me a new skirt in 6 years, because I was at that school from 7th grade to 12th grade. So I wore the same damn skirt for, you know, years. I washed it every weekend and ironed it, but it was, you know, 6 years I wore the same skirt. Gained weight, lost weight, didn't matter. I was wearing the same skirt. So I only had like two pairs of jeans, maybe. And a couple of shirts for like the weekend. I did not have enough clothing. That is for sure. I didn't have enough underwear to last me an entire week. So I had to take them off, wash them in the shower, and, you know, hang them up to dry so I could, you know, so I had enough clean underwear. But I didn't have 7 days worth of panties. That's insane. No one should live that way, right? But I'm sure, again, I'm not alone. How many of you had that problem? And it was so ingrained in me that even when I was working and I could have bought 400 pairs of panties, I was still doing the same thing. I remember working and doing that, washing my panties and hanging them up. Instead of going, you know what, I'm going to go to Macy's. I lived in New York City and I'm going to buy 14 pairs of panties. So I have 2 weeks worth of panties, always. It never occurred to me that I could do that. Do you know when it occurred to me that I could do that? When I got married to my second husband, to my current husband. He was like, how come you don't have, you know, he noticed I didn't have enough underwear. Like, I didn't have a lot of underwear. And I said, you know what? I don't know why. Because at that time, I didn't know why. And he goes, we're going to go. And we went to a store and he bought me all these panties. And that's when I started to, you know, for the first time, my underwear drawer was overflowing. And since then, even when we've financially been tight, that has been a thing where it's like, you know, I'm running low on underwear. Get more underwear. That's always been a thing for me now, right? That's self-care. And those are the things that they do to us that we may not even realize were being done to us. You know, even basic need stuff. And the thing is, none of my friends or family would have known that or believed me if I said, I only have 4 pairs of panties. Or my mother said that she can't buy me new socks for the new school year because she doesn't have the money for it. New socks. Socks. She would tell me, you're going to have to sew the holes in the current socks you have and use them. And that's how I grew up. And I know a lot of you did too. Just lacking. And the one thing I've noticed, I'm an educated person. I have a college degree. I consider myself to be smart. I taught high school math. And I'm generally not a dumb person. You know, I get jokes and stuff like that most of the time anyway. And I feel like I haven't done enough in my life. Like, and I know a lot of you probably feel the same way. Like, you're not where you want to be, right? I'm 49 and I'm definitely not where I want to be in life. And that's not a good way of thinking because you are where you are supposed to be. But a lot of us grew up with that lack mentality, right? Lack mindset of, I'm never going to have enough. And then you grow up and you keep thinking that, I'm never going to have enough. I'm never going to have enough. And you end up not having enough. And that's because your mentality is that way. And you don't go after the more. And that's me. And I know that's an issue with me. Right, I don't go after the more. As a matter of fact, I didn't work for 6 years because of trauma. Actually, it's more than 6 years, but because of trauma, because I didn't think I was capable of it, because that's what was instilled in my head. And I'm sure a lot of you may have issues as well. Right, I went as far as applying for Social Security disability, and I've never talked about that before. At least I don't think I have, because, you know, obviously it's not something you want to put out there publicly. Until Hurricane Ian, I live in Florida, and I live in the place in the area where Hurricane Ian hit, and stayed there for 9 hours, 12 hours. I don't know. I've heard different things from different people, but I don't remember exactly. I didn't time it. And it destroyed us last year. It destroyed our community. Our house was fine. The house we rent, it was fine. And don't, you know, minor things happened to it. But Hurricane Ian really destroyed our community. Still rebuilding, still lights out and signs that are gone, and things are still, you know, a year later, we're still rebuilding. Anyway, so my husband's department, and this I've talked about, they allowed them to stay where he works in conference rooms, right? For the people in that department. So me and him packed up and took our three cats, and we went, and we were there for 10 days because we didn't get power for 10 days. So from September 26th or 27th to October 7th, we were there. Because my birthday is October 7th, and I lost it that day. I had been there for 10 days. It was freezing cold. I was alone all day long in a room, you know, and the only thing I could do is watch my, like, Hulu, Netflix, whatever, on my tablet. And I'm grateful because not everybody had that, right? But I was done. But it showed me that my body was capable of doing a lot more than I thought. And something snapped while I was there, and I said, this hurricane is changing my life, right? And sometimes we need something like that. I would consider that a tower moment. Yeah, tarot cards. I talk about tarot cards because I love tarot cards. And I love tarot readings. And yes, I have paid for readings. I have one reader now that I really like, and I go to her every so often. The tower card is a tower that's on fire and it's falling over, and everyone's so scared when they see that card. But that card is not just about the tower falling. It's about the tower falling, but it's a fresh start, right? So you need something horrible to happen to realize things. And that was my tower moment. Okay? That's when I realized my cousin, the only cousin I still spoke to, didn't care about me at all. Because he'd never... I mean, I knew. It's not that I didn't see that. The only one who made an effort to talk to him was me. But my birthday passed, and the hurricane, and he never texted to ask if we were okay. And I'm not okay with that. And I cut him off. I took the horn, the rein, what's the expression? The horn by the reins. And with my father as well, I said, you know what? It's not his decision not to talk to me. It's mine. It's my decision. I don't want anything to do with him. Close that door. And being at my husband's job and helping out and waking up early and going to get breakfast. I'd have to explain too much, but yeah, we can eat breakfast there and going to lunch and then going to dinner and being in an uncomfortable situation without bathrooms working. Made me realize that I was a lot tougher than I thought I was. And that changed everything. I started looking for work and actually got a job in December, but I didn't like the environment, so I didn't stay. But I didn't let that completely derail me. And I kept looking. And I have a job now, and I've been there almost 5 months. 5 months. That is huge for me, since I thought I couldn't work at all. Now it is part-time, but it is 3 full-time days. So even though it's part-time, it doesn't feel part-time really, because 3 days in a row I'm getting there at 8 and leaving at 4:30. Those are full-time hours, right? I just need 2 more days. And I like where I am. I have a great boss. I couldn't have had a better boss. I wish the position was full-time, and that's something to look for in the future, right? Give myself a little more time and then see what happens. That where I work, there's always a position coming up, and so we'll see what happens. But the tower moment made me realize what I was capable of. And maybe a lot of you don't realize what you're capable of because you've been in this place of trauma and your body, you feel like you're not capable of something. Or maybe psychologically you think you can't handle things, and you can, right? When I started doing EMDR, if you guys don't know what it is, just look it up, EMDR. I had to dig really deep to find out what the core problem was. Why couldn't I work, right? What was the issue? I wanted to succeed in this job. So I started doing EMDR. I tried to start before the job started, but it didn't work out that way. So I started like a week. The first week was my first session, and then it really did work. I don't know. It's, look it up, and I don't know how it works, but it works. You're able to disconnect the trauma from your having a feeling attached to it, and that's been enormous to me. So I forgot what I was saying. It was EMDR. Oh, that you have to dig really, really deep to find out what the core problem is. And what I figured out is that my whole life, everything I did was wrong. Everything I did was no good. Everything, I wasn't good enough. So that's what I was working on. That's not true. Everything I did wasn't wrong. Just because that someone tells you that you're wrong, or someone tell, oh, I apologize for the background noise. I really apologize. Just because someone tells you that what you're doing is wrong, not right, that everything you do is wrong, doesn't mean it is. And that was the basis of my issues, was I felt like everything I did was wrong, right? And believe it or not, in the beginning of my job, I felt like whenever my boss would say, hey, Millie, this or that, just to either correct something I hadn't done correctly, or, you know, being new, you can make mistakes. Even when you're not new, you make mistakes. You're human, right? I took it harshly, but then I started to talk myself and saying, it's normal to make mistakes. It's normal not to be perfect. And he's not yelling at you. He's just correcting you so that you do it correctly the next time. And now whenever I make a mistake, or, hey, there's a better way to do this or whatever, I don't take that personally. I just change the way I do things, and that's it. Right, we have a good relationship because I'm open to what he tells me instead of feeling defensive. So it is important, because we take everything that we learned, we were told since the day we were born, and it does affect us as adults. It's not something that it goes away. You know, we always carry it around with us. I'm not good enough. Nothing I do is good enough. Nothing I do is correct or right. Right? I mean, the one positive about that is that my mother taught me, and I've always said this, how not to raise my daughter. Right? So for that troll who says that I'm narcissistic, go suck a lemon, because honestly, I wasn't a perfect mother. Nobody is. But guess what? When I learned about this and I saw the mistakes I had made, things I had copied my mother on, I learned to apologize for those things and never do them again. Okay? And my daughter moved away for 2 years and came back, and she came back. It was more of, I saw an opening and put my hand in with my claws and dragged her back, dragged her out of the situation. Like I said, I don't want to say too much more, but she was not a great situation. Yeah. Okay? She was in a really terrible situation, and I was finally able to I saw that she was in distress and she was showing it. so I knew that I could say something and get her back, and that's what I did. And she's here, and slowly but surely, we will get my daughter back in working shape, and hopefully her life will be everything that it should be. That's my only hope for her. You know, and it hurts to think that my mother did everything in her power, so my life was worse than it could be. You know, whatever I've done with my life, it's been in spite of what I was raised with, not because, right? It's in spite of. And that's a sad thing for us. So, yeah, I mean, I started talking about those, you know, covert narcissistic things, like the waste of time, or not paying attention to you when you go visit them, or giving you an underhanded compliment. I always like that. Now, I am working with people now. Ooh, I'm working with people. And I get those underhanded compliments, and I just love it. I'm like, oh, thank you. Even though I heard it, and I know what they're saying, right? I am too old now, is what I've realized, for drama. So if someone tells me something, I don't take it personally. I'm just like, she's insecure. I know what the issue is. That's your problem. You're jealous of me for something. And it's always about that. I don't know what it is. You know, and I'm not saying I'm a person that people should be jealous of. But for 49, I do have nice skin. I know that. And I take care of it. Some of you know I have a makeup channel, which I haven't posted anything to in a very long time. But I have really good skin for 49. I don't look 49. Okay, I've seen a lot of women my age look way older than I look, and she's a year younger than me, and this woman has given me underhanded compliments, you know, about my double chin, or because I'm overweight, and that's a genetic thing. Having a double chin is nothing I can do about it, and I'm not having surgery. That's the one thing, because she talks about surgery, and she's like, oh, you can have your nose done, and I'm like, yeah, I don't want to. That's not a thing I'm going to do. I'm not having surgery. I'm not injecting my face, and I'm not, you know, I'm not doing anything. I'm aging gracefully, and those comments of hers are meant to upset me, like, to make me feel bad. Honey, I know what my nose looks like, and I've accepted that a long time ago, okay? I have what they call a Roman nose, right? It's longer. It's a little longer. So what? It's my nose. I love my nose. It does its job. I can breathe through it. The way it looks is irrelevant, you know? If it was, like, crooked, or it's not crooked, and it's I actually like my nose. I'm sorry. If she doesn't like it, that's her problem, right? So that's how we have to remember that when someone gives us that underhanded compliment, it's about them. It's their insecurity. And it's not that she looks old, because she doesn't, you know. But her face is not, I don't know what's going on. She has a lot of markings on her face and stuff. It doesn't look like mine. Mine is like porcelain. I've always heard that. Oh my God, you have porcelain skin. And I know she's jealous. She told me, funny how this has turned into this woman's underhanded compliments. She goes, oh my God, you have such little round eyes. My eyes are so big. And I was like, oh, thank you. I'm so glad you like them. I said, yeah, they're little, but I love my eyes. You know, it's about them, right? They need to insult us because there's something about us that they want to be like, so they have to put us down. So those are not people that you want to be friends with, right? You have to interact with them, but you don't want to be friends with them because, boy, you're always going to get underhanded compliments. You're always, they're not going to treat you right. And this is from a mug in my therapist's office. It says, everyone doesn't have to like you. You're not a taco, right? And I think that's so true. Right? I'm not a taco. So if you don't like me, that's on you. You don't have to like me. right? I'm not going to bend over backwards for you to like me. And that comes with wisdom, with learning about toxic people and experiencing trauma. You kind of go, I don't care what other people think. It's about me, right? And does that sound narcissistic? It does, but it's not narcissistic. We're protecting ourselves from those toxic people by thinking that way and seeing the world that way. So I've never felt better about myself. I used to be thin. I was thin at one point in my life. And I'm not thin now. I'm the heaviest I've ever been. And I've never been happier in my skin. You know why? Because I'm finally happy with who I am. I don't think about... I used to obsess about looking fat. And I just don't anymore. I am who I am. And would I like to lose weight? Absolutely. Is it something that's stopping me from being happy about myself? No. And that's the difference. Right? That's the difference. Is that I'm still happy with who I am. At whatever weight I am. And however I look. Do I wear makeup? Absolutely. Why? Because I like it. Because it's something that I started. It was a passion of mine right before I started working. And it still is. I wear makeup every day. I contour my face every day. I wear eyeshadow and primer and moisturizers and all sorts of things. Just for myself. I'm not doing it for anybody else. I'm doing it for me. So that's it. Anyway, so I hope this podcast was helpful. Again, like most of my podcasts, it's a bunch of different stories and different things. But I hope that you can relate. And I hope that if you have someone in your life that is giving you underhanded compliments, including mom, that you understand that they're on purpose. And that you should not feel bad about yourself because someone points something out about yourself that you may be insecure about too. You need to be secure about yourself 100% of the time. And that's the, you know, the medicine for that is being secure and loving yourself completely. Because then those things won't bother you because you love yourself and it doesn't matter what other people say. Did I have a complex about my nose? Since I was a teenager, I was going to have a rhinoplasty. I was going to, that was my mindset. And I got to a certain age where I was like, why should I have a nose job? This is who I am. I don't want to look, I'm sorry, I love Jennifer Aniston, but I don't want to look like her when I'm in my mid-50s, okay? I don't. She, if you guys watch the morning show, she looks so strange. And it's so difficult to even put... First of all, she has no expression on her face. Because I was watching Friends and I'm like, the difference is she has no expression on her face now. Because she has so much Botox, she can't move her face. And because she doesn't look that different. But her mouth, it looks like it's been stretched. So she's obviously had a facelift. Because it's stretched out. It's so weird. And I don't want to look like that. I want to look like Millie as I age. I just want to look like me. Right? I want to look like Julia Roberts. And I don't know if she's had anything done. But I've seen pictures of her. And she's got wrinkles. But she looks like Julia Roberts. And that's what I want to look like. Right? I want to look like me. I want people to recognize who I am. You know? Wrinkles and all. All right, guys, I'm going to stop there. I hope that you're having the best possible time you can. Enjoy every moment of your life and love yourself. Love yourself completely. Love your eyes, love your face, love your smile, love your gut. Love that muffin top. Love everything about yourself. You know why? Because nobody else is going to do it for you. Okay, and even if people do it, you'll still feel insecure. You have to love it. Love everything. If you're thin, love everything about being thin, about what your body looks like, no matter what. Okay? If you're, no one's body's perfect. You know, that's only an Instagram and TikTok thing or filters and stuff, but in real life, people are imperfect, and that's the beauty of people. That's what makes us unique. Love yourself, and then everything else will be better. Trust me. So don't let people underhandedly abuse you, make you feel bad about yourself. If someone doesn't pay attention to you when you're with them in person, they're not worth your time. Remember that. Okay? So I love you all with all my heart. And until next time.